May the Lord graciously enable us to speak to a scripture in chapter 51, the prophecy of Isaiah, reading from the third verse. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 51, and we read first part of the third verse. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. The exercised and observant family of God will notice something that is very significant in the prophecy of Isaiah. Many things are significant, but the worthy point that we have in view is this. Yet from chapter 40 onwards, there is a most remarkable change in the whole movement of this prophecy. For you will know how chapter 40 opens. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That is to say, the prophet, by divine revelation and inspiration, was looking beyond the captivities and the desolations of Zion to the incarnation of the Son of God and to his advent, to the accomplishment of the work of our redemption, to his ascension into glory, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost, and the future times of blessing in the Church of God. He was looking right beyond that. All the desolations and the sorrows and the troubles of the Church of God to the coming of that Blessed One, the ushering in of the gospel day and era, and to the future blessings that would attend Zion, the Church of God. I suppose you may think now, well, we have lived to see almost 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. Certainly, many favored seasons Zion has known. You have known the pouring out of the Holy Ghost and many rich blessings here in this central church in London. The history of Gower Street Chapel reveals some of this. And the preacher has participated in this as a hearer and also a speaker, for which we bless God. But you may say, are these the happy times of the gospel? Wherever the gospel flows in all its holy efficacy and divine power and heavenly light and holy love, there is joy and peace and blessing and comfort and consolation and the transformation that is declared here, the wilderness is made like Eden and the desert like the garden of the Lord. That transformation is accomplished by the power of the Spirit in your souls. Let His love flow into your heart, His forgiving love. Your garden blows with rich perfume of humility and love. And on those favored occasions you may say, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And he does. But I can understand the outlook. Paucity of numbers. You come to her solemn feasts. Sanctuaries closing. Desolations and distresses. But my friends, have we not this word? When the Lord shall build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. There is a set time to favor Zion, for his servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. I cannot help feeling an impression in my spirit that the very tenor of these words, beautiful words they are, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. One has the impression that the Lord will one day even yet revive his Zion. And if I may make just a personal observation, my mind has often gone to this over the years. I was born in Stepney, East End of London, taken as a child to Mr. Ashdown's chapel. I understand that prior to Mr. Ashdown going to Zohar, that they seriously considered, and it was named by the deacons, that if there was no improvement, they would seriously consider closing the chapel. They could not continue. But Eli Ashdown was impressed by the Spirit and led and made willing to go to Zohar. And some of you that are older will know the issue. After a while, the place was filled and overflowing. A cosmopolitan congregation. How richly did the Lord bless the labors of his dear servant? Did the Lord comfort Zion? Did he comfort all her waste places, and he is able to do the same now? Really, I could not preach from this scripture if I felt in despair, if there was no hope. These words are like a sunbeam in the darkness, penetrating it, dissipating it. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He shall comfort all her waste places. Most significant language. In the general sense, that is, in the churches of God, then it comes to little communities, families, and then to our own souls. For the Lord shall come to Zion. And I'm glad this word is here. He will come to it. All her waste places. And you may find a parallel to that in your own poor soul and in relation to some things that deeply concern and try you. That he will comfort all her waste places. Therefore, as the Lord may be pleased to answer your loving prayers, you will see something of the scope of the sacred message divine that is with us on this holy day. What a message! Hearken to Isaiah, to those dear people of God who had passed through so much and were still in distress. And he is saying, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort. Look at these waste places. He will comfort all her waste places. And did the Lord accomplish it? Was he faithful to his word? He always is. Probably some of you will listen today and then wish to know if I am a true prophet. Because it is not a matter just of the promulgation of it. It is a matter of the fulfilling of it in your poor soul and in the church, in Zion. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. A brief word concerning Zion. Those of you in the Sunday school and the Bible class will know the precise meaning of Zion. Zion then, an eminence of the city of Jerusalem, very beautiful eminence. Never seen it, obviously. I have not, some of you may have done. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now this was originally, as you may read in Chronicles, a castle or a stronghold, and was taken by David from the Jebusites. And became the city of David, or the city of God. And although the temple was built on the adjacent Mount Moriah, this term Zion came to mean the city of God, his house, the place of his choice where the ark should rest, his dwelling place, and synonymous with Jerusalem, and used metaphorically to express the church of God, his dear people, and the type of heaven. You will remember in Hebrews 12, you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and so on, but you are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the heavenly, of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and so on. And when I thought about this, it occurred to me that surely gracious hearers would wish to know some evidence that they were associated with Zion, that they belonged to Zion, that they were Zionites, or the promises to Zion. And so, let us make a few observations. You will know, as in Psalm 132, the beauty of the ascent of the ark to its resting place. And the Lord said this through the psalmist, for the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Two things let us name. You will know that the Ark of the Covenant was the seat of the Lord's presence with Israel. The ark containing the tables of the law, above it, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. How lovely. A mercy seat. Blood-sprinkled. And then, from between the cherubim, shining forth, the Shekinah glory of the Lord. Not a consuming glory, but a saving glory. The glory of his love and grace and mercy and clemency and compassion and mercy seat, my friends. Here will I dwell. Now you have evidence of that in Gower Street Memorial Chapel. The abiding presence of the Lord. Think of it. Over all the decades and flowing through the ministry of the Spirit. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. That blessing flowed into the heart of the preacher in this sanctuary. Many years ago now, to be precise, almost 46 years ago. That is, if we are spared until June, 46 years ago. Did I know the presence of the Lord in this sanctuary? The shining forth of his glory in salvation? On that memorable evening, heaven, pardon, peace was preached into our soul. Is there any doubt about being a Zionite? The preacher could have gone from the gallery seat, the pew there, into heaven. Heaven had commenced. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. You'll know because you get the blessings. You glean in the field. Amongst the sheaves, sometimes you get a handful of purpose, and presently your apron filled or veil. You know that you belong to Zion. How wonderful then that this was his appointed rest and is his appointed rest. There's no place on the face of the earth like Mount Zion or the Church of the Living God or the sanctuary, the place where the Lord stays, where he dwells, where he manifests forth his glory, where he communes with sinners at the mercy seat, where he discovers his lovely countenance and speaks peace into their souls and grants to their spirits the divine repast of faith. All this abiding. I'm sure that many times you have said, the Lord is in this place. You would not be able to continue and say, and I knew it not, because you have experienced it so many times. But there was an initial, and I knew it not, but now you can say, the Lord is in this place. My soul is watered, fed, nourished, cheered, comforted, blessed, revived, uplifted, transported, translated. Oh, to be a Zionite. As I look on this Mount Zion, this eminence of the city of Jerusalem, I can see the reason why this is a type of the Church of God. For the things of God, the things of the Spirit, are elevated high above the earth. Immediately you are in the Spirit, you are caught up into the heavenlies and leave all the mundane, trifling things of this world behind. The glory of the Lord shining into your soul, and you're transported on the immortal wings of the heavenly dove. You're gone in spirit, and we know it. What effect has the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ upon you? One effect is this, transporting. I remember when the Lord blessed me with deliverance, I felt that I looked down in space and saw this planet a long way away. I had gone in spirit from it. So, how favored you are to realize that you're a Zionite, that you know this Shekinah glory, not consuming but saving, namely, the reconciled countenance of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He looks upon you and smiles upon you. The gospel looks kindly on you. There's no comfort at Mount Sinai. There's no consolation, there's no mercy. There is no revelation of a Savior. That all this Mount Zion, the gospel, here is the Savior, here is the way to God, the way to bliss, here is peace and forgiveness and joy and comfort and salvation. So it is wonderful to be a Zionite. Are you able to say, I would like to address our younger friends, would you be able to say this? Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. There is no place like it on the face of the earth. Why? Because there I meet God. The Lord meets with me. He teaches me, he helps me, he blesses me, he disciplines me, he reproves me, he wounds me, he heals me, he guides me, he comforts me. And you'll get a blessing for your soul. And you go from the sanctuary feeling such an intense concentration of joy and peace and happiness in your spirit to feel that it is well with you. Now, are the younger friends able to feel that? Because the Lord said, gave that commission to his apostle Peter as he reinstated him. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And so the lambs are not forgotten. I go back, of course, to those days when I was in London, and I remember coming here and often on a Tuesday evening getting a crumb of divine mercy. Is there anything to equal it? Nothing. You'll know the wonder of Zion, the shining of the Sun of Righteousness, the power, the unction, the life, the peace that flows into your soul. Oh, this Zion, this city of our God below. And all nations flow to it. As we know from the Word of God, he sent his disciples, who were obviously afterwards apostles, saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And his living gospel must complete its orbit round the whole earth until every nation has seen the light and felt the warmth of the Sun of Righteousness. It must be so. And every poor sinner, every needy soul, those who long for the Lord's mercy and grace and favor and blessing, they're perfectly free to prefer their petition in the name of Jesus and humbly ask him for his favor and goodness, and they will not be disappointed. So that this morning, well, I know obviously that there are those at the other end of the earth who are asleep because it is night. But it doesn't matter where it is, whether it is the USA or India or Australia or Kuwait or any part of the earth, all those who are taught to feel their need of him, they look to this precious Sun of Righteousness, and he will not disappoint them. And I suppose there are some of you here this morning who in your war service were thousands of miles from Britain. And probably you can look back now on the Middle East or the Far East or to France or some area where you served and think of how the Lord blessed your immortal soul in distant lands. Or you may have been on the sea or in the air, and the Lord blessed you. A number of testimonies have we heard to this effect. So that the Lord so comforted Zion and comforted all her waste places, thousands of miles from the shores of Great Britain, and those precious characters of grace, they could have gone straight to heaven. Now, do you know it? You know it in the hospital? Know it in your work? Know it in the factory? Or in your scientific work? Or the mother in the home? Or the dear lonely one in the home, living alone? Do you know it? For the Lord to come and comfort Zion, it is his divine purpose. This would never have been inspired if the Lord had no purpose to fulfill it. For he says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. Shall I reveal to you a secret? I believe two things had an effect upon me in relation to this text. The first was that in our own path and exercise, and I hope this was a promise from the Lord in relation to those things, pleading with him, groaning before him, may well be groaning before him. And I did hope this was a sweet promise in relation to those things. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. The people of God know what these waste places are. Then there was something else. Namely, my own poor soul. For we do so alternate. Many seasons there are when the Lord comes and blesses us, and when we feel happy and very comfortable in our spirits. But it is not long before we begin to feel perhaps a change. There's no change in him, my friend. Blessed be God. Changes in us. But a cloud seems to come. And you may look on your poor soul and you feel perhaps so destitute and rather dark. And you may say, well, really, my poor heart seems to be like a waste place. And when we're tempted, and when we feel the power of indwelling corruption, and when we're low in our minds and sink, oh, how you may feel that your poor heart is like a waste place. It needs thy reviving hand. Is that true? Did you come like that? Did you tell the Lord that you needed his reviving hand for him to comfort all her waste places? I love that hymn, all thy wastes I will repair. Thou shalt be rebuilt anew, and in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. But all thy wastes he will repair. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? And to see the fulfilling of it. Let us bless God this morning on this holy day that we have seen it. We have seen it measurably. Some of those waste places are now as Eden. And as the garden of the Lord, they're no longer waste places. For instance, if you thought of relatives, might even be dear children or grandchildren, but if you thought of them and thought, now where are they to die? And you would say, well, a number of them are in the house of God, but there's four. There's that poor lad or lass, and really they have no heart or mind for the Lord, and they're not in his house, and it's a waste place to you in your heart. What a waste place. So that you can see the force of this word, he will comfort all her waste places. When that poor young man thought he was emancipated because he was no longer, as he thought, under paternal restraint. And so he took his journey into a far country, wasted his substance. What a wise place. Look at him, debauched, wretched. What a wise place. Some of you who fear God may have wise places this morning. But how wonderful when the day comes that he will comfort all her waste places. How I do pray to God that this may envelop Great Britain again. That instead of looking out on an arena of strife and departure from God and his royal laws, and consequently, it's like a waste, isn't it? In this sense, oh, to see the pouring out of the Spirit and the return of millions to the Lord, so that no longer should the United Kingdom be a waste place. I know we have enshrined the wonderful blessing of his gospel and his ministry, the ministry of the Spirit, but how much there is that is lying waste. He will comfort all her waste places. It's not impossible, my friend. It would never have been written if it was impossible. Think of the glorious Reformation and the awful debauched state of the land prior to that. The Lord can give us a new and wonderful Reformation. So, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. You see, it is universal, if you like. It is national. It is in the churches of God. It is in your family life or home life. It is in your heart. You want the Lord to comfort all the waste places. You may say, give me just an illustration. I will. Take the soul that is under conviction and that is full of guilt and the burden of sin and the misery of it. And what will it be for the Lord to comfort that waste place? For the dear Lord to reveal his dying love to you, shed it abroad, grant you forgiveness and fill you with holy love and joy and peace. You think that will comfort all the waste places? So you go out of the chapel and feel you're an heir of glory on the way to bliss. Forgiven. You've got heaven commenced in your soul. Is that the exemplification of this word? Indeed it is. So that you go along Shaftesbury Avenue feeling it is well with my soul. The Lord loves me. He has shown mercy to me. He has comforted all the waste places. And that will make you like Eden and the garden of the Lord. And I must say this to you, if we use another illustration, when the alabaster box was broken, and if the Lord favors you, your heart will be like the alabaster box of precious ointment. Now when that was broken or unsealed and the Lord was anointed, the odor of that filled the house. There are two things there. One is to see the greater when the precious body of Christ was broken. Broken in his sufferings, in his vicarious passion. The odor of his infinite merit filled the church of God. What an odor that is, of his infinite merit. To take every one of his people to glory. The other is this. If the Lord has done great things for you whereof you are glad, if he has comforted all your waste places, and your heart now is like Eden and the garden of the Lord, a rich perfume, of humility and love? If so, there's a right place for that, where it shall be unsealed, broken. Where is it? The Church of God, Zion. So that before the living family of God, you should unseal that precious box and anoint the Lord, and that the odor of his work, the unctuous work of the Spirit, should fill the Church of God, fill Zion. Blessed be God.
Let us now sing hymn number 366, hymn 366, tune Wiltshire 268. The Lord in Zion placed his name, his ark was settled there. To Zion the whole nation came to worship thrice a year. But we have no such length to go, nor wander far abroad. Where'er thy saints assemble now, there is a house for God. Arise, O King of grace, arise, and enter to thy rest. Lo, thy church waits with longing eyes thus to be owned and blessed. We'll commence to sing at verse 3, hymn number 366.
Arise, O King of grace.
Blessed thou art from the beginning.
Let us, dear Lord, by thy grace, praise and bless and adore thee for thy goodness to us in the divine service this morning. And we pray that we may abide in the love of God, and that it may please thee to fulfill this most blessed promise to thy church and to us personally and in the path of life, to comfort all her waste places, so that our desert may be as Eden, our wilderness as the garden of the Lord. Lord, grant us that voice of thanksgiving and melody, thy eternal praise. Bless the beloved friends and all dear to us each, at home and abroad. Be with us, O Lord, through the interval. Bless the Sunday school and the Bible class. And be with us in the evening divine service for thy sake. And crown this day and this week and this month and this year and our lives with thy goodness for thy sake. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love